record it, upload it, or something.
Yeah, we'll do it here.
And I'll send you the audio recording later on, Catherine, if that's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to share the screen now. Hang on.
No, you haven't.
Good minute. I'll just hang on. Just need to change the setting. Just bear with me for a second.
Yeah,
I'm not optimized. No. That's it. Right. Okay. Hopefully, you can all see the
thumbs
the welcome
up if you
screen.
Can see welcome. Good.
I'm just going to start by reading a verse from that well-known prophet Zephaniah. The Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt you over with loud singing. Our first song I've chosen today is called The Lord is Present Here, and just reminds us that God is with us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, in all situations.
The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. Come worship. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. Come worship. Brought near by Jesus' blood, brought near by Jesus' blood, brought near by Jesus' blood, we worship. With angels round the throne, with angels round the throne, with angels round the throne, we worship. We offer up our lives, a living sacrifice, pouring out our gifts of thanks and praise. This is your holy hill, you call us higher still, joining with all heaven to acclaim. Holy, holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Sacrifice. and praise. This is your holy hill, you call us high still, joining with our heaven to acclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we're just so conscious of your presence here with us this morning, Lord, in our separate homes, but yet, Lord, united by the power of your Holy Spirit. We just pray, Father, that we might know your presence with us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Draw us closer, Lord, to yourself through your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a rope, Lord, just drawing us and binding us nearer and nearer to you and nearer to each other. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to come and to worship you. Lord, you are the creator of all things, of all people, all nations. We thank you and praise you, Father, for who you are, for your great love for us. And we pray, Father, today that we might indeed worship you in spirit and in truth as we come together on Zoom this morning. Be with each one of us and be with those, Lord, who aren't able to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue with another hymn now. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder how great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. How great. Jesus, I'm not sparing. Sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul.
Sandra's now going to bring us our reading from Psalm 121.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thanks, Sandra. Before we think about that psalm and those words, I've chosen another hymn now, which is actually based on this psalm and is called I Lift My Eyes to the Quiet Hills.
To the quiet hills.
thought today that I might go off-piste a bit, as it were. Normally, we've been following the lectionary passages, and I just thought today would be a good time just to spend a bit of time in quiet and reflection, and do use this Psalm 121 as the basis for that. And I think sometimes just a bit of downtime, a bit of something different, I think just helps us to focus on the things that are important in our lives. So this psalm, which Sandra read, is one of a group of psalms called A Song of Ascents. And it was a group of psalms, songs that the Jews, the Israelites, would sing as they would go up to Jerusalem, normally for one of the festivals each year. So like a kind of a community song almost, that they would sing to kind of encourage one another as they went on their journey. Because if you remember, Jerusalem was actually set on a hill. So the pilgrims would be going up the hill towards their destination, and this psalm would be sung to encourage one another as they went on their way. And this psalm, Psalm 121, starts off, "I lift my eyes to the mountains," or the hills. "Where does my help come from?" And you can just picture it, can't you? Them looking at the hills in front of them as they're going off to Jerusalem for their festival. But they'd also, in the foreground, before they saw the hill on which Jerusalem was situated, was also see other hills and other mountains that they would have to cross on their way to get there. And of course, from a distance, hills and mountains always look very spectacular, don't they? But any mountaineer will probably tell you that most mountains aren't as safe as all that. And very often there's many dangers and things along the way that you have to encounter before you actually get to the top of a mountain. And the hills around Jerusalem were particularly renowned for being quite dangerous, with robbers and wild animals and other things that the pilgrims would have to encounter on their way. So going through hill country in those days was quite a dangerous and an unnerving experience. And, you know, when we think about our lives, you know, we often go through life, don't we? And we encounter things that are unexpected and situations which we find not perhaps dangerous, but difficult to deal with. But one thing we can be certain of, as we encounter the things that we meet, the situations that we have in our lives, the Bible reminds us that we should not be surprised when we face such difficulties and dangers. But it promises us that God is there in all situations. So I've got five little points, really, I want to make to you this morning, just to kind of think about what this might mean to us. The first thing is that God looks after us. Verse 3 of the psalm says, "He will not let your foot slip." And God's there for us, isn't he, to make sure that we don't get into trouble. Now, I think I've probably told you the story about the mountain of dog poop that we seem to have around our streets, around our house. And I've noticed during lockdown that there seems to be even more of it than there was before we started, actually. And those of you that know me well know that I have a habit of stepping in things because I don't really look where I'm going. But fortunately, when we do go out for a walk, Sandra's normally there with me, and she grabs my hand and pulls me out of the way and keeps me out of the danger of stepping into the dreaded dog poo. But, you know, I need to respond to that guiding hand, don't I? You know, if I don't grab hold of her hand and things, you know, I'm likely to end up in a bit of an awful situation. And, you know, it reminds us, really, doesn't it, that God is always there to hold our hands and to keep us safe and to pull us up sometimes when we get into difficulties and we get into to dangers. And I think the question today is, you know, when God, we know God's there to look after us, do we actually take advantage of the hand that he's outstretching towards us? Or do we, you know, often like childs and toddlers and things, tend to want to pull away from God? In verse 7, the psalmist reminds us, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. So that's the first thing, then, that God looks after us. He's always there. The second thing is that God protects us. In verses 5 and 6, it says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. And it's a picture almost of God being like a sunshade, isn't it? Although in this country, you'd probably see God more as an umbrella, I think, than a sunshade, given from the sort of weather that we have. But of course, in Eastern countries, the sun there was very, very hot and very, very fierce. And the people needed to be protected from the ravages and the glare of the sun. And God reminds us that he's there to protect us. Very often in the Bible, there's many pictures of God as our protector. He's called our defender, isn't he? Our shield, our fortress, our refuge. So this is another example that the psalmist has given us of God being there to keep us safe from harm. I've often wondered, actually, because it said in this verse that it says the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. Now, I've often wondered why you need to be protected from the moon. And apparently in those days, an interesting fact this is, that people believed that too much exposure to the moon led to lunacy, i.e. the word lunar and moon. So, you know, that the moon could make you go mad. So next time you go out at night, don't forget to take your umbrella with you. But, you know, there's a serious point here, isn't there? If God wants to protect us from all of these things, we need to be out there and to go through the dangers and go through the problems and go through the things that are there. Not to sort of lock ourselves away at home and try and keep ourselves sort of locked down or cocooned at all. God wants us to face up to things in this world, doesn't he? And not avoid them. You know, God sent Jesus to be our salvation. And to do that, Jesus put himself at incredible risk, didn't he? An incredible danger for you and for me to protect us from the power of sin in our lives. The next thing is that God is always there. In verse 3, it says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You know, God never dozes off, doesn't he? He never takes his eye off us for one moment. I'm sure you've seen many reports of mothers who've taken their eye off their toddlers, and the toddlers have suddenly wandered off and fallen into danger. You know, I remember a story once about a mother who just took their eye off their child for a moment in the garden, and he managed to somehow drown in the pond. But, you know, God never, ever takes his eye off you and me. It's almost as if God's got eyes in the back of his head, doesn't he? You know, whatever we're doing, whatever situation we're in, God is on the lookout for us. But, you know, we're not always aware, I don't think, are we, of that God is there with us. You know, he only seems to be there at certain times. But he's watching over us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year. But, you know, even though God is there all of the time, he does expect us, I think, sometimes to have some time when we're not awake, doesn't he? You know, we're only human. God is able to do all things at all times. But, you know, because we're mortal, we have our limitations, don't we? And I think sometimes we forget that. I don't know about you. I often think I can do more than I actually can. And it's like that at church sometimes, isn't it? You know, we were saying in our Deacons Away Day the other week, you know, it's sort of 20% of the church very often that tries to do 80% of the work, you know, and it's easy to kind of stretch yourself to the limit. And I think there are times when God wants us to rest, just to be still in his presence. You know, there's that little word, isn't there? No, that's easy to say, but difficult to do sometimes. And I must admit, I've actually started saying no to a few people lately, and I found it's actually quite liberating sometimes, you know, and God wants us, I think, just to focus on certain things at certain times. I've often think I ought to write a book sometime called The Clapped Out Christian, because, you know, when you look at us sometimes, you know, you look around sometimes and you look at people and you think, you know, they're absolutely exhausted. They're just doing too much. But the psalmist says in Psalm 127, he says, "In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, but he grants sleep to those that he loves." So we shouldn't feel guilty, I don't think, about having a rest sometimes. You know, God wants us just to rest quietly in his presence. The fourth thing is that God sees the bigger picture. And although the psalmist says, "Look up to the hills, from whence does my help comes from?" Ironically, the answer isn't in the hills, is it? Because the hills are where the dangers and the problems and things are. He's saying that the answer is that our help comes from God. So the psalmist is saying we need to look above the hills and to look to God and look towards heaven itself, because that is where God is and where our help comes from. I don't know about you, but sometimes things really get on top of me and, you know, life just seems to kind of weigh you down and you sort of can't see the wood for the trees sometimes, can you? And the reason I think that happens is because we're looking down, we're looking inward, and we're not looking up. And I think it's great, actually, this psalm reminds us that God wants us to look up to him. You know, very often when I'm doing my Bible study, I sit on the settee and I look out of the window and I look at the sky that's you can see on the other side of the road. And it just reminds me that God is there. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And God wants us to trust him for the future, for whatever lies ahead, whether it's good or whether it's bad. The final thing that the psalmist reminds us of is that God is with us forever. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And I think if there's one thing I want us all to take away today, is that God is with us at all times, even though sometimes we don't feel that that's the case. When you get home, I'd like you to have a look at this psalm again and just sit, just read it and be quiet and just sort of let it speak to you. Let God speak to you as you read these verses. It's not a long psalm, it's only 8 verses long. And it's one of those psalms, I think, that it's worth learning a few verses from, just to recall to mind sometimes when we get in sticky or difficult situations. You know, I'm sure most of us don't carry our Bibles around with us most of the time, but God wants us to implant his word in our hearts, doesn't he, and in our brains, and to recall those words in those times when we most need it. God will never let us down. He's there at all times and in all situations, and there's nothing that he cannot help us with. Amen. I'm going to ask Mary now to lead us in our prayers for others.
Yeah. Carrying on then with the theme of up a mountain, I've taken my inspiration for prayers from Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus goes up into the mountain and he sits down and his disciples come to him, and he then teaches them with these words that you know very well. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So I'd just like to pray now for everyone that's a bit down for whatever reason. We don't always have control of our moods, and sometimes it can come over us, maybe in a depression or just in a dip, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, you will lift those people today. Anybody that's at home, we have a lot of people in our church family who are in their homes most of the time still, regardless of COVID and keeping safe. They're there because limited mobility or poor health or whatever reason. So Lord, just lift those people, lift their spirits, Lord. And blessed are those who mourn. The people that are bereaved, we all have losses in our family from time to time, and I'm sure there is somebody on our own hearts now that we are mourning for, or we know somebody that is mourning. So Lord, bless them. Help them to celebrate the lives of their loved ones and to see the good that came from those lives and the lasting legacy, Lord. But just heal those hearts that are mourning. Blessed are the meek. And this is a curious one. I think the meek are the people that go about their days. We don't see them necessarily as heroes. They're quietly going about their business. They don't get in the news. They don't get any medals. We've seen a lot of medals this week. But the people who are quietly going about their business, Lord, let's remember them. The people that we can rely on. The people that we need in our lives that are the rock, that don't blow their trumpet, that are not bragging, but are just there and solid and true and good. Lord, we pray for them, for their strength. Blessed are those that hunger for what is right. Lord, the people in our world that are out there, whether it be for human rights or the rights of the planet, there are people who put their own lives on the line for what they believe to be right. We pray for them. We pray for their strength, that they will pursue their goal for the benefit of all of us, really. Whether it be saving the planet or saving a nation, Lord, we just pray for those that are moved so much by what is right. Blessed are the merciful. Lord, mercy, what a big need we have for mercy in our courts, Lord. People that are seeing that justice is done. In countries, Lord, where there are fights between religions, fights between tribes, fights over borders, we pray for mercy, Lord. We pray for mercy for people who are caught up in that for through no fault of their own. Blessed are the pure in heart. Lord, let's look to our own hearts now. See what we can purify. I have a vision of pure oil, pure olive oil, which has been pressed and cleaned and filtered. Lord, and I just pray that's what you will do for us today. You will purify our hearts. Get rid of any jealousy, any malice, any thoughts we might have that are not for you. Purify us, Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. My goodness, do we need peacemakers? Those that are negotiating, especially for Afghanistan at the moment with the Taliban, not a group of people you necessarily need to talk to, but nations on the borders and even our own nations in America are going to have to talk to these people to find a way that we can work together to bring peace in that troubled, troubled country. United Nations, Lord, all the representations of different countries that are working together. And lastly, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So for Christians all over the world, Lord, I pray now that they will be able to find you, to worship, and to talk about you freely in their country. And we know that's not possible in many places in the world. I'm thinking of China, various places in even in Eastern Europe, in the Arab countries where people are really persecuted for their faith. Keep them safe, Lord. Paul has promised that there, that in your name, that we are protected. So pray now for safety and that people that are seeking you can do so without being persecuted. Lord, we pray for your kingdom. We pray for your kingdom here on earth, that we will see it grow in these troubled times. Lord, I just pray for us as a church community, for us and for the Methodists as they're in their church this morning. Lord, just bless us today as we go forward through the week. And I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Shall we... Thank you, Mary. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you, Mary, for that prayer. And I like the reflection on the Sermon on the Mount, on the Beatitudes. That was good, helpful. I'm going to finish by sort of continuing the hill, the mountain theme with quite an old hymn, actually. Some of you will probably know it. Some of you might not. Some of you will think, oh, I haven't sung that for years. It's by Isaac Watts, and it's Come, We That Love the Lord. And the chorus goes, we're marching to Zion.
Yeah.
Let's just pray. Father God, we look forward to that day when our march is over and we're with you in heaven and with all your saints. We pray now, Lord, that you might just give us glimpses of heaven in these troubled days. Remind us, Father, that you are with us always and that you will see us safely through to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's unmute ourselves now, shall we, as we say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Thank you. Just two notices that I've got, and then I'll put us on full screen then if anybody else has got anything to share. There won't be a Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesday this week because not only is Adrian away, but me and Sandra are away as well. So we won't be having one this Wednesday, but we will be having one next, the following Wednesday week as usual. And next Sunday, we're still meeting on Zoom. The week after, we're going to be back in the church building, and the service next week will be led by the lovely Martin. So we shall look forward to that.
Never been introduced like that, Paul.
Lovely Martin.
Any more notices has anybody got? Anything anybody wants to say?
I would just like to say about the ride and stride. Unfortunately, Trevor can't join me next Saturday. He did damage his leg and his foot. They are improving, but he doesn't want to make things any worse by walking possibly 9 or 10 miles, which is quite a good choice to make, I think. So I'm hoping that my husband Stuart will join me for part of the way, so I won't be on my own. But most of you, I think, have sponsored me. But if you haven't and you'd like to, then either just get in touch, or obviously I'll be in church on the 19th of September and we can sort it all out then, because they will wait for sponsor money, so it's not a problem. That's all I want to say. Thank you
Catherine. Anything else anybody wants to share, or any exciting news?
No, it's all very steady, isn't it? Okay.
So good.
No, thank you, Paul, for that this morning.
Thank you all for joining, and look forward to seeing you all next week.
Okay.
Have a good holiday.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
The weather looks like it's going to be really good, actually, doesn't it? So we've changed the roof by the sound of things. Yeah.
And thanks for the technology issues, because obviously it's not been easy for you to go from one competitor
That's right. No, it's been good. Yeah. It's all worked okay. So that's the main thing. Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.